I turned it on. Is it working? Okay. I wanted to remember before. My friend in the back had to send me smoke signals. Amen. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. Verse 20 and 21. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Okay? You got that? You're supposed to hear what? Counsel. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. You can't go wrong with that. Can't go wrong with it. Psalm 33 and verse 11 says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. So tonight's message is the counsel of the Lord as we continue this series. And so I want you to understand, we've looked at the fear of the Lord, the blessings of the Lord, the way of the Lord, the chastening of the Lord. Okay? I can't remember if we did the eyes of the Lord or not, but tonight we're looking at the counsel, and there's a danger for rejecting God's counsel. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Starting at verse 24. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. The Lord can be what? Sarcastic. He's got a sarcastic sense of humor. You know, if you can't laugh at yourself, okay, then you got too much pride. All right? And I want you to know the Lord's never done anything to be laughed at. But it says the Lord said he'll have the heathen in derision. There's a message I remember Dr. Ruckman preaching, and he goes, oh, you think? Oh, you think you're going to do that? That's the way the Lord is. Okay? When you think you know better than he knows, all right? Now, he wants to rejoice with those who rejoice. I know that my Savior wept tears with those who were weeping. God has a sense of humor. He has a sense of humor. It's perfect. All right? But I want you to know it says here. You can't get away from it. He's going to have the heathen in derision. He's going to do these things. And you have to understand. You can't get away from it. Because I have called, ye refused. I stretched out my hand, no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I will laugh at your calamity, because he tried to keep you from it. Okay? I will mock when your fear cometh. Because you know why when you get afraid? It's when you take your eyes off the one they're supposed to be on and put them on yourself and the circumstance you brought yourself into. Okay? When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. You still with me? They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of what? Their own way. We've already looked at the way of the Lord. People go their own way. They need to go God's way. Again, one of Howard Bacon's favorite scripture passages is, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lead not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct thy paths. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways. Many ways, one end. There's only one right way. There's many wrong ways. The right way leads you to life everlasting, and the many wrong ways lead you to death, both physical and then spiritual. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning of the way of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. There's danger in rejecting God's counsel. You need to learn what counsel He will give you and then apply it in your life. I'm going to give you, Israel is a perfect biblical example of this. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 5. See if I've got this right. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 13. And he says, therefore, my people, verse 13 of Isaiah chapter 5, therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. Whew. The mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Then shall the lambs feed them after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with the cords of vanity, and sin as it were with the cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Bitter words, bitter water, bitter for sweet. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. You getting the picture? Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be rottenness, and their bosom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Look at verse 25. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and hath stretched out forth his hand against them, and hath smitten them. And the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Israel is a perfect example. See, wisdom is godly counsel. Turn to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. There's no wisdom or counsel that standeth against the Lord. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine in sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even of all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of judgment, that it may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting and from the beginning, or ever the earth was. God's counsel is always the wisest. Always the wisest. It's what wisdom is. God's wisdom is both written and living. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then you come to know the word of God, the living word of God. Then you receive, when you follow that, what God says. When a person gets saved, they are given the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, who is to lead you into all righteousness. When you listen to God's counsel and his wisdom, it will lead you to blessing, because that's what God desires to do. You can't get away from it. It's God's word, both living and written. And what can wisdom do for you? We won't, for the sake of time, we won't turn there, but it'll guarantee you heaven. Ephesians 1, verses 11 and 12, it'll guarantee you heaven. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor. We have an anchor that what? Keeps the soul. Both sure and steadfast, which entereth into within the veil, whither the forerunner is entered for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So not only will it guarantee you heaven, God's counsel, he says, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It'll save your soul. It'll guarantee you heaven, right? Isn't that what it says? He that hath Christ hath life, and he that hath not Christ hath not life. And it'll secure your hope. It secures the hope. It's an anchor. God doesn't move away from his word. Don't you wish all men were that way? All of us at some point, man, woman, or child, have intended one thing and either said and done another. The Apostle Paul, who gives us half the New Testament, tells us that in Romans chapter 7. That which I would do, that I do not. But that which I would not, that I do. Okay? Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? For with my mind I serve the law of God, and with my flesh the law of sin. So your hope isn't secure in you. It's secure in him and his word. If Jesus, that's why it says Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it tells you his word is unchanging. Because if his word can change, and that's why we're such sticklers about the Bible. If his word can change, then his promises aren't the same. And if he can change, then he's not God. Then eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So it secures our hope. Things you can learn about counsel. Without counsel, Proverbs 11:14. And you're supposed to find the counsel. It says, in a multitude of counselors there wanteth not what? Wisdom. When we speak, in a multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. For your Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Our words, too many, lead to sin. His word is sure and secure, and it leads to life everlasting. Okay? And that's where you find your counsel. Proverbs 11, verse 14 says, where no counsel is, the people what? Fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Do not take counsel from people who are doing the exact same wrong stuff you're doing. Okay? You can't do it. It'll take you right where they are. Okay, look at Proverbs 24. Without counsel, the people fall. In Proverbs 24, look at verse 6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety. So in a multitude of counselors there's what? Okay, in by wise counsel thou shalt make war. We struggle with that in America. Okay? There's only one president in the last 4 or 5 who didn't lead us into another war. He brought us out of one. He's running again. So with counsel, there is safety. Listening to counsel demonstrates wise behavior. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Look at this. Verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto what? Is wise. And the counsel he keeps pointing you to is God's counsel. It's God's counsel. The way of the fool, you justify it and you don't know what it's going to cost. To reject counsel is foolishness. Amen? Okay. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 12. We're coming to an end. 1 Kings chapter 12. I'm going to give you an Old Testament example. 1 Kings 12 and verse 6. Rehoboam is the king who took over for who? Solomon. Solomon was supposed to be the wisest man that ever lived. I don't know anybody who thinks a person's wise when they have 1,000 women they're dealing with. Is it 300 wives and 700 concubines or 700 wives and 300 concubines? Okay. I get that confused unless I'm reading it, okay? But I want you to know that's a whole lot of words in your ear. And you know something? Ecclesiastes was written after Proverbs. Because Proverbs is talking wise counsel. Ecclesiastes is vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What's the conclusion? Fear God and keep the commandments, because it's the counsel of the Lord. Amen? Fear God and keep his commandments. 1 Kings 12, verse 6. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, How do ye advise that I may answer the people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto the people this day. You know, times if people know that you love them, you're willing to minister to them, you're going to serve them, they'll follow you. If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, that they will, then they will be thy servants for how long? But he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, which stood before him. And he said unto them, What counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, Make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father laid you with heavy yoke, I will add to you yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips. I will chastise you with what? What it cost him? 10 tribes. He caused the division of the kingdom of Israel. 2 generations. David, Solomon, Rehoboam. Young people, do not take your counsel from your peers. Don't take counsel from older people who don't take you to the scriptures and give you scripture with scripture. Because they won't be giving you God's counsel. Your peers will always cost you. If you're young in here and you mess up, go to your mom and dad. Because outside of the Lord, they love you more than anybody else. You may think they're stupid. I could have Michael walk in here and he could tell you that I got real smart between when he turned 14 and by the time he was 25. All of a sudden, I got more intelligent at 25. Okay? The counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Amen? And all God's people said, God bless.